You know, at Passover, I talked to you about the fact that, as it reads in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, that all the seals were issued before the first trump was granted. Which simply meant what? What are the seals? They're the Word of God. Where is that Word supposed to be? In your mind. You're supposed to absorb it. And then, of course, it aligns whereby you can recognize the trumps. Where do you derive that from? From the Word. You listen to His instructions. And then, after you have been sealed, you know, you must remember in Revelation chapter 7, stop the end. It cannot happen until we place the seal of God in the minds of God's elect. It's just not going to happen. Thank God He has given us a platform that goes around the world several times now. And we sure have a leverage to get that Word and the seals and the truth out there. I thank Him for that. For certainly, He is the one that has done it. It's just, it's a miracle here in this generation. It certainly is. And we give all credit to Him because He's with us. And nothing can prosper against Him. So that should give you a hint as to whose side you should be on. Okay. Always be on our Father's side, on His team. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 31. Now remember, this is the chapter that I refer to many times, 31, 29, where your children do not pay for your sins, nor do you pay for your children's sins. And it just so happens that God was talking about our forefathers and how many of them sinned, but He's going to make a new covenant. And naturally, that's past tense for that new covenant He did make. And it's very much in power today. So let's pick it up, if we may, with Jeremiah chapter 31, and let's just play real good and start with verse 31. Okay? Just following the fact that you don't answer for your children's sins, nor are they yours. Verse 31, Jeremiah 31, and it reads, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Those two houses are still split. You know that those 12 tribes which make up the house of Israel went over the Caucasus Mountains, were called Caucasians, settled Europe, and then later many in this great United States of America. There's many have a destiny and they don't even know it. It's amazing. The house of Judah, pretty well everyone knows where the house of Judah is. 32. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt." He did what? He took them by the hand. That's the way our Father operates, okay? "Which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord." The Hebrew is a little, can be translated just a little different here. It could say, "Should I still be a husband to them? Should I divorce them?" In other words, He didn't. He made a new covenant rather instead. Verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant," this is it, "that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord." I want you to note it said the house of Israel. Judah is not included here at this yet. "I will put my laws in their inward parts." That means it's seal in your mind. "And write in their hearts," in their minds, "and will be their God, and they shall be my people." Those seals will be delivered. And you know what His word was to Satan? "Don't you dare. Don't you even think about touching one of mine elect, one that has the seal of God in their forehead." That's why it's important to you, beloved, to be instructed of Almighty God. Not man, but Almighty God, as He leads you and directs you in His will and His way. You want to always be a winner? God's the winner. And when you're with Him, you'll always be on the winning team. That's not to say you can't take a little tough sledding every once in a while, but hey, let's get it on. Bring them on. We can cut it. We're God's children, and He is with us. 34. And they shall teach no more any man his neighbor or every man his brother, saying, know the Lord? Do you know him? Do you love Jesus? For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That's to say, those that have repented, those that serve him, those that wish to receive the seals, those that wish to receive that truth in their mind, whereby they become children of God. You know, that prepares you and equips you for a certain job, for a certain duty. Some of you know you have a destiny and a purpose, and you've known it all your life, that there was more to God's Word than you had been taught. Well, where does that truth come from? Him. It comes from Him, from His Word. Do not let man confuse or cloud either Word for you. Listen to it. Taste it. Absorb it. It's good for you. It will always counsel you. It will always direct you. It will always see you through. Now listen to this promise. He said, if you come my way, and if you take that seal, I'm going to forgive you of all your shortcomings. 35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. In other words, did the sun come up this morning? Of course it did. Is the moon still making its circle? Of course it is. He says, as long as that happens, and it's always going to until he changes it, do you know why? Because it's natural. God goes for that is natural. That's the way he created us. That's why he made us man. That's why he made us woman. Was that was natural, and he intended us to follow that pattern. What he's saying is, hey, I made that promise, and basically what we're getting down to, as long as you see the sun come up, the moon, and as long as the ocean still turns back those waves, I'm in charge. I'm keeping my word. I'm not going to let you down. And I can guarantee you that sun will come up until he himself decides otherwise with the brightness of his coming. One more verse, 36. If those ordinances, that's to say the law of nature, that's what the ordinances are. They're not written. It's the law of nature. That sun comes up. It makes its circle every year. Same thing. That's why the solar calendar is so very accurate. Doesn't change. We happen to be children of light, of the sun, of the day, not of the night. And there you have it. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Actually, that's not going to happen. What? Why? Because God created nature. It is of God. It's not going to change. You can count on it. How precious he is. Do you understand that he cares that much about you? You see, he made a promise. He said, you open your ears. It's going to be simple enough through common sense that you won't have to ask your neighbor, do you know the Lord? Number one. The second place, he's coming back. And they'll either know him or they won't be here, one or the other. It's that simple. Okay, ultimately. Because the bad guys won't bother us anymore. They will be missing. They will be gone. And there will be no problems, but there's many people and much work to be done between now and that time. That seal is a signet with a seal from the living God must be placed in the minds of people, that they hear the truth, that they know the truth, that they see the truth, that they see the beauty of the promises God has made us. Yes, even in the simplicity of the sun coming up every day. He said, that's how you can measure me. Long as you see that, I'm here. And I'm going to protect you. I'm going to cover you. Things are going to be just fine. Let's go, if we made it to the 54th chapter of the great book. Isaiah. So that you know what chapter this is, it is why Jesus would make the remarks in Mark chapter 13, "Woe to those that are with child when I return." He's not talking about a mother carrying a child in her womb. He's talking about those that are supposed to be virgins waiting for his wedding. And they partake of the spurious Messiah. And that's why that this chapter starts out, seeing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Okay? In other words, seeing you that weren't deceived by the false Messiah. You that had the seal of God in your forehead, and you knew better. You knew, and you were not going to be taken in. Rather than finding him tempting, you found him to be an abomination. And how many people will be deceived in this world today when they see supernatural entities snapping fingers and lightning coming from heaven, as it is written in Revelation chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. It's going to happen. They're going to perform miracles that people are going to be awed by it. How awesome! Did you see that? Well, you know beforehand. Why? You got the seal. You know the truth. But this is written to those women. There's no gender really in this. It's the bride of Christ, okay? The wife of Almighty God, let us say. He is our husband. That stay true, that are barren all the time he's away. You see, that's the simple part about it. He's been gone for almost 2,000 years, and all those that are with child, what does that mean? That means there's some bad things going on. Spiritually speaking, of course, please come with me. And because he wants a chaste virgin when he returns, spiritually speaking. So that's what this is written to, so that you understand, but that's not what we're covering it for. Verse 5 in Isaiah chapter 54, it reads, "For thy Maker," that's Almighty God, "is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called." In other words, he has universal dominion. You needn't look for anyone else. There isn't any other. He is it. Universal dominion. He controls. And you know what? He's the nearest relative you've got. Isn't that something? Isn't that fantastic? Look who you are. And I'm not trying to puff you up, because I can bring you down just as quick, you know. But it is important. It is wonderful. You're a child of God. Act like it. Okay, verse 6. "For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, a woman abandoned for a short time, and a wife of youth when thou wast refused, saith thy God." Now, I want you to listen to me closely. God, if he has to set you aside for a day or two, he doesn't expect you to get all puffed up and bent out of shape. You're tough. You can cut it. You know he's not going to leave you forever. You know that he's watching. First of all, know this. There is a purpose and a reason that God will back off from you for a moment. He has a work in process. So don't panic. Otherwise, how could he use you? Stay with it. Stay calm. Absorb what's happening. And no, that's his promise. He said, I'm your husband, and I was your maker. I'm your creator. Ezekiel 18, verse 4, all souls are mine. You don't get around to giving your soul to God. It already belongs to him. You are his, lock, stock, and barrel. Okay, but he loves it when you love him. You know, that's the strongest force in the world is love. You can't buy it. You can't order it. Why does it happen? It just happens. And it's real. It draws. It sustains. It's always present, regardless of what. And that's His love for you. And He wants that same love in return. How precious it is. All right? Verse 7, for a small moment out of the eternity, think about it, just a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. With great love, with great understanding. He's watching, beloved, even when you're, when He might nestle you off the beaten path to accomplish a thing. He's still watching and protecting. He's with you. Verse 8, in a little wrath, when I got just a little bit angry, I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. Well, I wonder why He would get mad at us for angry for just a little moment. What happened in San Francisco this year? What did they do down at that courthouse, like Sodom and Gomorrah? And you wonder why He's angry? He won't tolerate it. So you may be put just a little bit to test. What are you going to do about it? Well, there's not much we can do about it except speak out. That's not popular. And boy, can it get you in deep trouble. But I've been there before. And I'll be there again. And I know that He's watching over me. I know that He's watching right behind me, right every step. And it's going to be fine as long as you do it His way. So don't you get all shook up if He says, in a little bit of anger, I pulled away from you just a minute. He's got every reason in the world to be angry when He looks at this earth today and His children that belong to Him. And you might say, well, I'm being good. Why is He angry at me? Well, why are you good and what are you supposed to be doing? Well, I don't know what to do. Well, then you're not very well founded in the Word, are you? You're supposed to have a nice smile and you're supposed to love your loved ones. You're supposed to pretty well set forth a good foot, but you don't let nobody push you around. Okay? You know, that's one of the first mistakes Christians make, is they want to be a welcoming mat. You know, well, that doesn't, you can't put many seals in people's mind if you're a doormat. You know what a doormat looks like after a rainy, muddy day? Verse 9. Always be sweet, though, okay? You know how to, when you have to even be tough, be sweet. That's called tough love. Verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. He's giving you another promise, just like He did earlier, about the sun and the moon. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. That goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 9, verse 13. When they got through the flood, He said, every time you see a rainbow, that's my promise that I'm not going to flood the earth to destroy it anymore. And He says, this is the equivalent of when you think, in other words, every time you see that is natural coming by as God has created it, I'm here. And every time you see that rainbow, as long as you love Him, it means He's not going to get angry with you. He's going to be with you. Does that mean I'm going to be in the rose garden the rest of my life? No. God doesn't need hothouse lilies. Hothouse lilies wilt every time some little thing happens. That's not, you know, we've got a troubled world and there's a conflict out there. And guess who the soldiers are that have to fight it? We are. Christian truth must go forward. And if you think you're not going to get skinned up a little bit, you live in a dream world. I'm speaking spiritually now, okay? But don't be offended when you hear people talk in the back about Christians and so forth. Don't get angry. Get even. I'm teasing, all right? Really, you have to handle those things on your own. I'm telling you, Satan is in this world, and you all know it. And you know how to handle him. Why? God promised you he'd be with you. And he will. So I don't want any of you making fools out of yourself or not protecting your credibility. By that I mean standing up as a Christian. Don't lose your credibility. Just play it cool. That's what I meant about get even. Wait. Okay. Be patient. Verse 10. For the mountain shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Meaning all the time through Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, when I rejuvenate the earth, those things will move, but my love for you won't. Because I love you. I'm going to be with you. Every time you see that rainbow, he said, that's a promise. I love you. I'm with you. That's my promise to you. Accept it, beloved. That's God's contact with you. Enjoy it. Verse 11, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. That's all the way back again to Revelation 21, along about 18, when he sets the eternal temple. For I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and all thy borders of pleasant stone. Ultimately, at the end, it's going to be so wonderful, beloved. That's what he's saying. It's worth the trouble. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord. Discipline of the Lord, instructed of the Lord. How? In his word. That's why it's important that you stick with it. It's your power. It's your might. Taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. When they accept it, and when they do, it brings peace. Truth brings peace. Truth will set you free. That is God's promise, that he will instruct you. That is God's promise that he will look over you. You know, it's, I suppose, with the platform that he has given us here, you know, it's so easy for me to say, you know, that God blesses those that really serve him. And I can say this whole body truly does, because we are indeed blessed. And God chooses ones. And how few do so much for so many. A little bitty chapel that he lets ring around the world more than once from every satellite. That truth, that seal, beams to this earth, this entire hemisphere as well as others. And we thank our Father for that. Taught of the Lord, instructed by the Lord. He promised that he is the living word, and it is that living word that spreads the knowledge and the wisdom around the world. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. To revere, to love God is the beginning of knowledge. But a fool refuses instruction. That's the world, my friend. Don't ever forget Proverbs 1, 7. When you think you're not, the knowledge isn't pouring your way, think about it. That's the answer. God teaches through his word, and it is not, they are not empty words. He delivers. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear. You don't have to be afraid. Well, you don't understand, there's terrorists in this world today. And from terror, for it shall not come near thee. When you have your guard up, when God is watching, you know, sometimes we have to be taught a lesson. Unfortunately, we were. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. What a promise by our Heavenly Father. I believe that with all my heart. When someone tries to gang up against you, do you know what kind of a prayer they have? Nada. Zero. Zippo. Nothing. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire. God said, I'm the one that created the old boy that stirs the trouble, gets the fire going, and that bringeth forth an instrument of his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. I created Satan. Now, many might say, whoa, that kind of frightens me. Well, why would it? God controls Satan. Satan can only do what God allows him to do, and I'll even take a giant leap forward from that. He can only do what you let him do. Because what? Well, why is that? Because God gave you power over him. That's his instructions. Don't put up with it. Verse 17, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Who's going to condemn? Thou shalt condemn. It is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Why? Righteous indignation is fine. It is of the Lord. When you know his word, when you know the seals of truth, then God is with you. You know, we're covering some very powerful promises here. He meant it. He keeps his word. Unfortunately, sometimes our people don't. Sometimes we'll have a great one that will come along that will try to turn the nation and the peoples back to our Father. How fortunate we are when that happens. But that's no excuse for the people themselves, in as much as we are a government of the people and by the people, that we ourselves hold that line of decency within ourselves. The love of God grows and expands and is all-encompassing to the world, giving people hope and understanding. Well, now, that's kind of the Old Testament. Reckon there's anything about this in the New Testament? Let's go to John chapter 6. St. John chapter 6. And St. John chapter 6. Jesus is delivering a message. Who is Jesus? The living Word. He that brought forth and set the seals in action. Let's pick it up with verse 43. He has just told them about the bread of life. Now, knowing he is the Word of God, and that is the bread, not wheat bread or corn bread, but the bread that truly gives you substance. As it is written in the great book of Amos, chapter 8, the famine of the end times is not for food, but for hearing the word of God. That's the bread. Our forefathers had manna bread rain down on them, and they're dead and gone. The bread you receive gives you eternal life. For it is the truth. Verse 43, and it reads, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. They said, what does they just asked, what does he mean he came down from heaven? Isn't he the son of Joseph and Mary? We know him. Well, he wasn't. He wasn't the son of Joseph. Verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. We're at that last day, beloved. God's raising some people up. God's using some people. And I think it's fantastic. It's so touching to me to see his plan in action and to see it coming to fulfillment. How precious it is that his word grows daily in a troubled world where it would seem that Satan has the advantage. He doesn't. We do. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. You just read it in the prophets, in the book, 54th chapter of Isaiah. Jesus is quoting it here. His word doesn't change. His word was the same when he spoke it to Isaiah as it is here in this New Testament to John. before John. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. I don't want you to read over that. Did it say every man that's heard, that's it? No, it didn't say that. It says every man that has heard and what? Learned. And learned of me. Meaning to hear with the Greek word is very beautiful. It's to hear with understanding. Meaning not just that you heard a phone, I'll say that in the Greek, a noise, but that you heard it and it was as clear as a bell. There I throw slang in, don't I? Well, that's okay. But what you learn of him, it means something to you. It means that you have contact with the Heavenly Father. He said, God sent me, and if you hear me, you know the Father. You know something? He's your husband. He's your maker. And that makes you pretty important, whether you like it or not. You're a child of God. Verse 46. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. If you have seen the Word, and if you understand it, and even if you had seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Why? He's made in the image of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That's important, beloved. He meant it. It's simple. But to believe upon him is to hear with understanding and to do, not just hear. That's how you obtain everlasting life. Hey, we've got a long time together. We haven't even begun yet. The eternity. And it's going to be beautiful. What a time we have before us. I am that bread of life. I am that bread that keeps you alive eternally. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. It didn't keep them alive. It sustained them so that one generation could die off in 40 years for disobeying God. This, verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. This is the bread, the truth, the seal. Is it in your mind? Do you continue? You know, none of us know the whole truth. We must continue to work at it. We must continue to bring it forth. We must lavish in it. We must absorb it. We must enjoy it. It's precious, for it gives us strength and substance. It'll stick to your ribs so that when hardships come along, you rise above the occasion. That's what it does. It's the bread of life. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh. The flesh became the Word of God, right? John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh in Christ, the living Word, which I will give for the life of the world. That's love, friend. You know, I'm going to tell you something. When I look around at this world today and what's in it, do you think I have a great urge to give my life for it? You think I want to give my life for what's been going on in San Francisco? You know, what I want you to do is to see Christ. And he gave his life even regardless of that. That even they would have that opportunity. And you know, hey, there's none of us perfect, all right? He gave that life so that on repentance we have eternal life, you know. That's serving our Father. You know, there is turn on ahead to the 14th chapter. There's one verse when you're learning from the Word that can get some people in a little bit of trouble by not understanding. In chapter 14 of this same book of St. John, he said, I go where I'm going to, you know, in my Father's house are many mansions. And people say, oh, sweetie pie, I've got a mansion in heaven waiting for me. And they see a great white posted building with all kinds of stuff around. That's not, the word is mono in the Greek, and it means a resting place. And you really rob yourself if you're not already in that resting place today, which is to say Christ. In Him you can find rest. In Him you can find peace of mind. But that's what this chapter is about. But I came here for one verse, 26, as far as instructions from Christ. But the Comforter, that's the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, not maybe, not perhaps, will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Think about that a moment. Did you know you already had that in your head? Well, anytime something comes to you and that you say, oh, that's so simple, I think I knew that from before. Well, you were from before. The word never changes. Not in this earth age. It wasn't from the first earth age, and it's not going to be in the earth age coming. The word is the same. But I don't want you to be thrown by this. Listen. Whatsoever I have said unto you. A lot of people say, I don't have to study. The Holy Spirit's going to teach me all things. That's written up there in St. John chapter 14, verse 26. There's just one problem. They forget the last sentence. Whatsoever I have said unto you, I have foretold you all things, as it's written in Mark 13. Anytime you get some harebrained idea that Jesus has given you a special mission, and you can't document it and back it up in what he has said, do you understand why I'm hammering on that? If you can't back it up in what he has already said, you're winging it, friend. You're on an ego trip. You're deceiving yourself, and you probably got somebody whispering in your ear, it's okay. You're special. You can't be deceived, even though I've almost done it. You want to be real? As Christ has spoken. In other words, God will never give you something that you can't document in His Word. I'm just throwing that in because some people think instructed of God. They take this as from the Holy Spirit that they don't even have to study. And they eat a bunch of sour pickles and have some bad dreams and say, God spoke to me through a pickle. Well, it doesn't work that way. To conclude, that means I'm about to shut up. 2 Timothy. We're going to go to about chapter 3. You don't have to be surprised at things in this world. Don't ever forget, we're at war. We're at war nationally, but the war is popping hotter spiritually. It's popping, my friends. If you're not spiritually discerning it, and you're asleep at the switch, and you need to wake up. You need to get the seals in your forehead. Verse 13 of chapter 3, 2 Timothy. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. This is why you want to be instructed of God, not man. Okay? You know, I get some strange letters sometimes. Do I believe in angels here on earth teaching now? This man claims to be, and he is trying to lead some of our people astray in the church, saying he's special. He's a special agent from hell. Now, don't be dumb. Okay, there's evil men in the world, and they will deceive you. 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. That means with a double witness, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who did you learn them from? Almighty God, your Father, your family. You learn from Him, and you don't listen to malarkey or dreamers. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, you've worked at it, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word will do for you. That's what the Scriptures will do for you. Why? Christ will, He's guaranteed it. Well, I have trouble reading. You won't. Keep trying. And when you have trouble hearing what you have read, ask Him. You know, He's right there with you. Listen, I do this all the time. No, not all the time, but at least once a week or twice a week. I have to say, Father, this isn't coming through to me. I need a little help. Bam! Whole paragraphs. Just clear up. Love Him and ask Him. He's there. He wants you to have that Word. He wants you to spread that Word. Talk to Him. That's what you call prayer. Okay? Say, I need a little wisdom and understanding. He knows we're dumb. Okay? Don't try to hide it. Don't be afraid to ask, all right? Some of us are a little dumber than others. Some of us maybe are a little smarter than others. I'm not a judge, okay? But I'm really not insulting anyone, I hope. I'm teasing a little bit because I'm about through. See, and when my Irish begins to mount, when I get close to finished, okay? 16. All Scripture. Now, what did that say? All. That's I-L-L. All. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, what you read in some rag sheet is not Scripture. You got that? This is the Scripture, God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's good doctrine. That's a way for you to live, a way for you to go, a way you can count on, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Did it say instruction in unrighteousness? No. In righteousness, in doing that that is right. That's what the Word will do for you, being instructed of God, being instructed of the Lord. That's what you want. Absorb the seals and gain eternal life by loving Him. Last verse to complete. That the man of God may be perfect. That means fresh, and there's no gender in this. It's men and women. That you may be fresh and mature in His Word. In other words, if someone asks you a question, you're able to handle it pretty good. Okay? You become wise in the love of God. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Not bad works, good works. Thoroughly furnished. The Word will do that for you. It's complete. Don't ever feel bad that, well, I just don't understand the whole Word. Nobody does. The Word is pregnant. It continues to grow. And we all learn. And that's why we continue to study, to absorb, and to take in that truth, which is God's Word. And we thank Him for that Word. I hope you enjoyed it.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
But it's in darkness, moons, not light, not days, but in the darkness. So it means Satan only has the last half of the equation as spurious Messiah.
Again, Revelation 13, is it verse 4? Is that right? I think so. 3, 4, or 5, somewhere in there. Now, usually I'm not wrong, but I could be. But I won't be off over 1. I don't think I'm off at all. Anyway, I did make a mistake 3 or 4 years ago, though. So you want to always check me out. But it documents that he does not appear physically until the middle of that week, which would mean also as well the middle of the 5 month period. Okay? But the one world political system, as it is written in Revelation 13, must almost come into existence. It must almost, in fact, become a reality to even receive a deadly wound. All right? So we've got a ways to go, but we can cut it. George from, where is George from? I don't know where George is from. Doesn't say where George is from. Yes, it does. It says George from Georgia. Okay, there you go. I have a question about your Bible study sermon on Ezekiel. You stated that the cherubims traveled in spaceships. Well, I didn't. The Bible did, okay? I was wondering why other places in the Bible the people don't describe them as the way of Ezekiel's description. I also thought that they could travel without ships. Thank you for your teachings and help. Now, George, how many people do you know in the Bible that saw one? I only know of one. You know, before you can describe something, you got to see it, right? Ezekiel's the only one that saw them. And Ezekiel was told to describe them. And in the Hebrew, Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 4, they had the appearance of amber. In Hebrew, there is no color. It says they had the appearance of highly polished bronze. They were circular. They had people in them, and there were windows. And you know what he said? He said, they look not where they went. Meaning, you know, a donkey, he's got to describe this by stuff that was around him at that time. A donkey, when it turns its head, looks, and then it goes. Okay? These things were circular, and they just darted and went. They didn't look where they went. They just went. Okay? And the strange thing is, he said, every time they turned and went, the people inside went with them. Well, now, that's easy for us to understand today, isn't it? But, I mean, I want you to stop and think. He's the only one that saw them, so in that sense, and he did a fantastic job of describing them. Judy from Illinois. Jesus said, if you deny me now, I'll deny you later. Isn't this the unforgivable sin? No. You're discounting the millennium. There's 1,000 years of teaching in the millennium, okay? And there are some that will deny him. But because there was not someone teaching truth, they wouldn't believe the malarkey that was being put out, the traditions of men that makes void the word of God. And God loves his children, and he's not going to send anybody to hell when they didn't have a proper chance. And some will say, are you talking about a second chance? I said, didn't have a chance. There is no such thing as a second chance. And let me tell you something. With some of the things that are happening in this world today, there's a lot of people that don't have a prayer by listening to traditions of men. Lorraine from Florida. Why do we have to go through testing again in this world age? We already went through it in the first earth age. Like he said, Esau I hated. You said there is a war in heaven. Does that mean when we die and enter heaven that we will be fighting Satan again? No. Have you never read Romans chapter 8, beginning along with about verse 26, 28, where you're already justified? And what's wrong with being tested when you're one of God's elect? If God sticks you on to an evil spirit to order it out, why would you call that testing? I mean, that's exercise. That's can-do type people. And God can't deal too much with hothouse lilies, people that don't like to be tested. But I just can't hardly stand to be tested. And I'm not mocking you, but I'm saying I don't like poor me babies. I like can-do type people that can get out there and cut it. And if God's got something for you to do, don't consider it to be testing. It's not. You're working for Him. Well, I want to be just like Jesus. Oh, they crucified Him. That's some pretty strong testing. They whipped Him, beat Him. Where have you been so roughed up? Think about it, all right? Just think about it. The war in heaven is spiritual, and it's between Christ and Satan, okay? You'll be just fine. Be tough. Get tough. Lee from West Virginia. When the Antichrist comes, will we actually hear a trump? Is it a message, a sound, or what? It's one of the seals. That's why you've got to know the seals before the trump sound. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. All seven seals were delivered before the first trump ever sounded. Why? The seals are what's in your mind. You have to be taught how to do the battle. I'm going to call it a battle because it is. You have to know what each step is, and when you know the seals, you can discern the time. That's what it is, okay? It's knowing the seals. I recommend and urge that you read Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 and 2. You've got to stay in sequence with God's plan, okay? Earl from California, I do have a question. We are told, whatsoever we do, do it with our might. At work, I do just that, as unto the Lord. I work for an overbearing boss. In spite of that, problems come up. Usually when he's around to criticize me, how should I handle this? And simplify to you. Inasmuch as you signed to simplify, you know how to handle it. Smother him with kindness, okay? But you're doing what God stated would bring you blessings. You know, the old boy that signs the paychecks, when he wants something done a certain way, well, he's kind of got a right, unless it gets too overbearing, and then it's time to start looking somewhere else, okay? If he's just totally and completely unreasonable. But if he's, you know, a boss has got to, at the same time, a boss has got a boss. He's got to make something work, or you wouldn't have a job. So think about it in all, in as much as, you see, he signed this, God bless and simplify, so I know he's an old Marine. And I know he's got some salt right down in his craw that he can get out there and get it, okay? He can always make another hill. He can get it done, and he will. You just handle him, okay? Sometimes you got to be smarter than the serpent, okay? Don from Kentucky. Where can I find that Cain and Abel were twins? I've read Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, and I still don't understand. Well, okay, do you know, when you study with me, I almost insist that you have a Strong's Concordance, because your key word is in the Hebrew, okay? And you're going to, the key word that they were twins is in the second verse. And it follows in the word again. The word is hath in the Hebrew, and it means continued. As it's utilized here, it means continued. Now, if a woman is giving birth to a child and she continues in labor, what does that mean? That means she's having twins or triplets or no telling how many. Okay? Long as she continues in labor, she's continuing in labor. So what I'm telling you is you just about, if for your own edification, to edit yourself, you need to go to the Hebrew. If I have told you the truth, but I always appreciate it when people try to prove me wrong, because that gets them into the Word in depth. And then if I am wrong, we'll both learn something. And if you go to the depth of what was actually written in the manuscripts, there's nobody going to take that away from you. You've got the truth, and you hang on to it. Okay, so you will find the proof that Cain and Abel were twins. They both came, when did they both start giving first fruits? Same year. They became of age at the same time. Well, what would that mean? They're twins, okay? She continued in labor is why you know they were twins. Anne from Virginia. In Revelation, John talks about the seven seals being open. Has that already happened, or is that something that still has to happen? It still has to happen. It still is happening. It's simply teaching. It's teaching what each of those seals comprise. Whereby, what was said at the beginning of chapter 7? There were the four angels that hold the four winds which bring about the end of this earth age. They were ready to end it. And a strong angel came and said, stop, hold it. You cannot let the end come until God's elect have the seal in their forehead. Just understanding the seals, okay? It's very, very important. Okay, I did a lecture on that at Passover this year. If you don't have it, I don't even know what the title is, but it'll help you. I'm out of time. I got to run. Love y'all because you love studying God's Word. That's really great, okay? Most of all, God loves you for it. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we helped you, help us keep coming to you. Most important this, hey, you stay in His Word every day, in His Word. Even with trouble is a good day. You know why? Jesus, Yeshua, is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
Genesis 1:46, the first six chapters in God's Word. The world that was. Did you realize there was a world age before this one? Same old world, different age. The creation itself. When were the races created?